Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, February 4th of 2020. And I'm your host for this evening, as usual, the Miracle Man. I want to say hello to every one of you listeners who is listening tonight. I want to say hi to my mother, my great mother and father listening from down in Clarkston. That's where they live. Obviously, I can't give an account for sure of where they are right now. Maybe they're at their house. Maybe they're down in like Auburn Hills, Rochester, or something. We'll just say from Clarkston, listening on the Miracle Man Show Network. I also want to say hi to, I've been told that there were people listening from Right to Life. So, those of you who are from Right to Life, I'm so glad that you would have it, that you're listening tonight. And I'm proud to say that I am totally pro-life as well. I know that part of your mission, that your whole mission actually, is to promote a baby's right to life. As that woman getting ready to have that baby, you want them to choose life for that baby. And it's just great what pro-life is doing. It really is. And I'm believing God that we can win some battles. Amen. In my life, my mom had a choice to make. She was told that I would, we'll just say it this way. If a mother is told that her baby will be born with special needs, because there's some things we do the ultrasound that don't look right, the doctors will talk about the various options. Obviously, the hope is that they will choose life for that baby. Because I personally am convinced that abortion is murder. I get this from, I know this is what God thinks, because everything I get is from about this, it's based on the way God sees it. Because I'm a born-again, spirit-filled, water-baptized Christian. So, we're going to get into the Word of God here in a few minutes. By the way, I will be doing a show on MCTV in a few weeks. Talking to Right to Life. And listeners, you will be able to watch the show when I do it. It'll be at 1:45 on Tuesday, the 24th. Excuse me, the 25th of February. Of course, that's easy to remember because 10 months from the upcoming Christmas, or two months from previous, but obviously by this point, I'm more apt to be looking forward than backward. You know, it's February here already. Well, I heard what the groundhog said. Let me rephrase that. I was not up when that guy in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, read the groundhog scroll, nor did I watch the video yet where he read it, the scroll. The groundhog says, is made to say this thing like, "Hear ye, hear ye." And they give his little thing. He was woke up by thousands of his fans. And then he says his little thing. Then they take a look. The groundhog didn't see a shadow. I hope that was not rigged by a storm system. Brittany, you don't think the groundhog thing is rigged based on what the clouds are doing, right? What do you think it is?
If the clouds are in a certain position, he's not going to see it, or he will see it, right?
A shadow sight means 6 weeks of winter. No shadow sight means less than 6 weeks, means early spring.
Maybe they
should still do the thing at the same time, but maybe not do it at a time where it's guaranteed to be blocked. You know? Because what I mean by that is, I mean, like, if there's a storm coming, or it's storming at the time, chances are that he will not see a shadow. Don't you think?
Yeah, because it's
going to
be darker and stuff.
Can you sometimes still see a shadow through some clouds sometimes?
Sure, but I mean, it's going to be less likely for a shadow if there's no, like, sun.
Or sometimes, if it is sunny, can there be sometimes that you don't see a shadow?
Yep, just all depends on where the sun and stuff's at the time.
And that's even if it's the same time every morning. So even if he's positioned at the same spot at that certain time every Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I think a lot of other things play into the factor.
So it's not just if it's cloudy or not. So it could be storming and then still possibly see a shadow.
Yeah.
Or it could be sunny and I'm not see it. I figured he wouldn't see it because I heard it was supposed to storm, but I kind of wished I actually heard it. Because the last several years, it's always something fun I like. It's something I anticipate on the 2nd of February. Especially if January was horrible.
Is he always right?
Just under half the time.
And
here's the deal, though. Any other animal, I can guarantee you, would be worse.
Really?
Do you think they could use a dog in the way he wags his tail? I don't think that would be able to tell, would it?
Why do they use a groundhog, though?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I am curious.
Don't they use like a kangaroo?
But I know they do this thing with the groundhog club and all this other stuff. And I will say, if I lived right near there, I would possibly go there one of the times, like if it was on the weekend or something, because I know, like, the people sleep on the floor of the Punxsutawney Community Center and that. And I understand it's kind of a neat thing. Of course, if I stood in a certain spot, could that block a shadow?
I don't know, because that's what I wonder. What if someone's, like, taking a picture? Like, obviously he's going to see a shadow, or if there's too many light.
I'm talking about blocking the shadow.
Yeah, that too.
So people are probably kept a certain distance away so that that can't happen?
Maybe.
Because that way it's fair.
Right.
I'm sure they do it a certain way so that it's actually fair. So that it has, like, an equal chance of seeing or not seeing it.
I don't know.
But with the weather, like, weather and stuff, it makes it hard to guarantee fairness, doesn't it? Because he can see a shadow, and then us possibly go on to have the warmest February and March ever in the history of America.
Right.
Or he could not see a shadow, and instead we have the coldest February and March. I mean, the coldest February and March in the history of America. Now, granted, in meteorology, listeners, in the world of meteorology, December, January, and February are in winter. March, however, meteorologically, is in spring. Spring, even though astronomically 2/3 of it are in winter. Here in the state of Michigan, as well as in most of Ohio, Kentucky, the Tennessee. But so once you get to Tennessee, though, March would kind of be a half and half, don't you think?
Yeah.
But then, once you get to, like, Alabama and that, Georgia, March is a spring month, I feel like, there. And then April, May, undisputed. And then June, astronomically, that's considered summer. No, I mean, meteorologically, that's considered to be summer. All of September, meteorologically, is considered to be fall. Even though, astronomically, 2/3 of it are in summer. Here in Michigan, we wouldn't know that. I feel like in the South, it's more accurately based on actual astronomical, don't you think? Or up here, it's based on meteorological.
Maybe. I don't know.
So I wonder if maybe they should rename it Southern and Northern. I know, right? Although in the South, it would be changed to be like, summer would possibly be like May 1st or whatever, you know what I mean? I mean, because they have a prolonged summer, just like we have prolonged winter. Anyhow, I still have not found the Coca-Cola Tic Tacs. Have you?
Nope. I looked at the dollar store today. That's where I went. I haven't seen them there. I went to Kroger the other day. They don't have them there.
They weren't at any of the checkouts?
No. I'm going to Walmart tonight. I'll look.
Is that where all of the Tic Tacs are? I don't check out, so are some of the Tic Tacs back by the candy or the health and beauty? Because they're for the teeth. Or whatever, your breath.
No, they're in the candy aisle part and in the checkout aisle.
What's the difference? Are the ones in the actual candy aisle bigger boxes or whatever?
No, just different aisles. It's the same candy.
Do almost all the checkouts have Tic Tacs or just some of them?
Most of them. I'm going to say about 95%.
But only certain ones will have certain flavors, though?
Yeah.
Do you imagine they're placed strategically, like next to Coke coolers and stuff? Makes sense that they would get strategic placement, doesn't it?
Oh, it's just a flavor. Do they put banana candy by the bananas?
No, but sometimes, like, if Coke gets the license to them.
Oh, maybe.
Unless Coke gave them the license to make them. Do you imagine Coke has the license, or do you imagine that company that makes the Tic Tacs has the license? Because you know they had to have a license, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's like intellectual property. So. It's kind of.
You can buy them on eBay.
But I don't do the whole eBay thing. I don't do the shopping. I personally don't do the shopping online.
You get them first.
But I'm not waiting 3 days to get a thing of Coca-Cola Tic Tacs.
And you'll have to wait 10 and still stores have them.
Yeah, that. Because sometimes I want them, I won't be able to just.
Well, you'd get them faster because nobody around here has them yet.
I know, but I just want to be able to get it from the store, open the thing, pop it in my mouth, and hope it tastes just like the Coke. And freshens my breath to be just like a Coke. But Saginaw had them weeks ago. But not Midland. Why? All right. I've decided that I'm going to get into the word. But first, we're going to sing and pray. And then we're going to get into sports and kind of a couple more things that I thought about. The Super Bowl. So, just one word from you. We need to hear from you. Just one word. From you, we need to hear from you, Lord. Your word is life. We need to hear from you, Lord. Your word is life. We need to hear from you. Lord, I know your word delivers me from my enemies, sets me on my heart, break, fill me to my spirit, Lord. Lord, we need your grace, just one word from you. We need to hear from you, just one word from you, we will do. We need to hear from you, Lord. Your word brings life. We need to hear from you, Lord. Your word is life. We need to hear from you, Lord. I know your word delivers me from my enemies. Set beyond my heartbreak. It deals me to my spirit, Lord. your grace. Lord, we need your grace. Just one word from you. We need to hear from you. Just one word will do. We need to hear from you. Lord, your word brings life. We need to hear from you. Lord, your word is life. We need to hear from you. Lord, I know your word delivers me from my enemies and set beyond my heartbreak. Lead me to the Spirit, Lord. Lord, I love your grace. We need to hear from you. We need to hear from you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for this evening. Thank you, Lord God, for these listeners who have made it an effort to tune into this broadcast tonight and to hear of your word, Jesus, your word. I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on their life. I thank you, Lord God, for the testimonies that are going to come forth as a result of this broadcast tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that every need is met as a result of this broadcast as we go through and read about you, Jesus, and what you've done. And I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on us. Yes. Yes, Lord. Lord, I make my confession over the show. I thank you, Lord God, that finances are coming into this radio show. I thank you that sponsors and partners are coming into this program. I thank you that increases in listenership, big increases in listenership, are coming into this program. And most important of all, I thank you for souls, huge harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this program tonight. In Jesus' matchless name, amen, and amen, and amen. Praise God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Praise God. Matthew 12. And we'll see what all God has for us tonight. Amen. I believe everything the Bible says, no matter what the devil says, no matter what people say, no matter what my circumstances say. Amen. Just turn into Matthew 12. I went back a couple chapters too far, so I'm turning to Matthew 12. If one of you at home is saying, "I beat you there, Miracle Man," I hope you mean it. Might have to try some Bible drills. You can get there fastest. Praise God. We're going to begin with verse 1 of chapter 12 of Matthew, and from the New International Version. I want you to follow along in whatever version you have at home. And also, whatever I do here at McDonald's, I want you to feel free to do wherever you are for the next bit. If I pray, you pray. If I sing a song unto the Lord, you sing with me. If I... if I pray, you pray. If I praise, you praise. Amen. So let's begin with verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through... At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath day. His disciples were hungry, and he began to pick some heads of grains and to eat them. Now, when the Pharisees saw this, this means the sad UCs also saw it too, which is really sad, you see. Those people, it's really sad. The sad UCs, they are sad, you see. You get it? The sad UCs, the sad UC. It's kind of funny, isn't it? My pastor teases about it. The Pharisees saw this. Now, when the Pharisees saw this, they said to Jesus, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful to do upon the Sabbath day." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to eat, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law," with a capital L, "in the law, that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, quote, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' end quote, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." Going on from that place, he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. They asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" He said to them, If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, won't you take hold of it and lift it out of the pit? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep?" Nothing wrong with sheep, by the way. Just Jesus said. Verse 12 again. Lift it out. "How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. If something is shriveled, what does that mean? Does that mean like it has warts on it, or what? It
means it's shrunk. Like it's getting littler.
Smaller. Littler, that sounds so funny. That sounded so funny. Like, I know it's not right, but it sounds so funny. Littler. Your teacher would be all over you if she heard that. I can guarantee it. Anyhow, verse 14. "But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus." Verse 15 now. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from the place, and many followed him. And he healed 3 people that were sick. Many people followed him, and he healed almost all that were sick. Let's try this again. Many followed him, and he healed all of the sick folk, the sick people. Warned them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I am well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will complain, and he will proclaim, he won't complain, he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldered wick he will not snuff out, until he leads justice to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. Verse 22. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. Wow. Think about that for a second. He's demon-possessed. He's blind, and he's mute. Wow. Verse 22. Then they brought him to Jesus, a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that he could both speak and see. All of the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "Oh, it's only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, excuse me, folks, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. And then how can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, to whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God," see, "if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God," Jesus says, "then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Or again, "How can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he must, he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house. He who is not with me is against me." Another version, another verse says it the other way. "Whoever is not against us, against me, is for me." and he who does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, neither in this age or the age to come. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. But make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yes, I knew I read it the first time. I did that because I wanted you to get it, listeners. I wanted you to get it. Verse 35. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. But the evil man, he brings out evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted or found not guilty, and by your words you will be condemned guilty. I'm going to finish chapter 12 and then I'm going to focus on the healings that he did, but I'm going to deal with some of this other stuff in here because confession is very important. The sign of Jonah. Verse 38. Stay with me now. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, and the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment of this generation and will condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south," not the southern U.S., "the queen of the south will rise at the judgment of this generation and will condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon, and now one greater than Solomon is here. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places, seeking rest, doesn't find it. Then it says, 'I'll return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied. It finds the house vacant. it sweeps clean. I mean, it finds the unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself. And they go in and they live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. Verse 46. While Jesus was still speaking with the crowd, his mother and his brothers stood outside, waiting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to them, "Who's my mother? Who are my brothers?" Just imagine, folks, a guy standing outside, says, "Who's my mom? Who are my brothers?" They don't know who they're, but you'll have to read on for a second to find out what he means. He replied to them, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and mother." All right, so I'm going to talk to you about something. So Jesus goes, he sees a man who has a hand that is shrunken. Why that would happen, I don't know. I mean, there's reasons for every different condition. But sometimes, obviously, they never know. They'll never know what happened. But anyhow, sorry. Anyhow, so, but this man, he was, he had a hand. It was shriveled. They couldn't figure out why. But God healed. Jesus healed his hand. And it grew back just like the other hand. Now, when I was little, I had these warts on my hand, some on my fingers. And at the time, I was a kindergartner, and as a kid, they're trying to teach me how to read Braille. And you can imagine warts make it really hard to be able to teach me how to read. But God moved. God moved. I mean, God made a way. And my mom took me to this specialist. And at first, he was not nice. He was not nice. He swore at my God. He was not nice to my Jesus. He swore at my mom. In front of this little 6-year-old. And I didn't realize it. But then weeks later, sometime later, my hands were healed. And then he saw my hands again. He felt really bad about what he had done. He felt terrible about how he had treated us. And he repented. But when this man has that shriveled hand and his hand is restored by Jesus, he goes to Jesus. Yeah, Jesus heals his hand, but then these Pharisees and these crazy Sadducees, they're just sitting there and they're asking, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And then Jesus has to ask them, you know, now guys, what if one of your sheep on the Sabbath, what if one of them goes out and he falls into a pit? Wouldn't you go out there and dig him out of the pit? And obviously, I'm sure they're like, well, yeah, we would. Then Jesus said, well, now you know, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. And doing good includes healing the sick. Later on, he goes and heals a bunch of other sick people. Doesn't say what their conditions are, but he heals all of their sick. And then he heals a man who is demon-possessed, blind, and mute. All three of those. Makes it so that the man can speak. See? And be free. Be free from those demons that he had operating. And they weren't just operating. He was possessed by them. And so when I look at it, in both of these cases that we read about, you see, the man who was that guy who was the man who had the shriveled hand. She just saw it. All he tells him to do is stretch out your hand. And then, boom. His hand got just like the other hand. And why Jesus does all these miracles in different ways, I have said this both of the last couple of weeks. I don't know. But multiple times he's told people to do certain things. God told Naaman in the Old Testament, go wash in the river 7 times to be healed from your leprosy. This guy, he said, as simple as stretch out your hand. And when he stretched it out, he was healed. That man in John, Jesus told him, he actually put mud on the man's eyes. And he told him, we'll call him, let me think here. Have a good name. Let me think of a good name. Hey, Marcus. Mark, I want you to go and wash this mud. Go to the pool of Siloam. I want you to wash this mud off your eyes. And so the man who was blind, there was no folding canes back then. He had to go down there, find his little old way down to that pool of Siloam. Obviously, it's not a swimming pool, so could have been a tide pool. I don't know. He had to find his way down. I don't know if it was a noisy place or what. But he went down there, washed, came home, seeing. Sometimes it's an application. I mean, sometimes there's a second application. Like in Mark, Jesus, heals a blind man. But the first, Jesus asked him, can you see? He says, I can see people, but there's a problem. They look like trees walking around. Jesus said, trees. He healed him completely. And he could see plainly. 20/20 vision. I mean, perfect vision. Because there used to be studies that said that 20/20 was perfect vision. Now, they claim that's more like 20/15 or something. They say 20/20 is achievable for most people. And granted, this is the year of 2020. And I continue to believe God for my eyesight to be completely restored to what I had for the first 3 months of my life. That, by the way, I cannot remember, because when you're that young, you remember absolutely nothing. Let's fast forward past some stuff. In a chapter, to where he's talking about confession. Make a tree good, its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad, fruit bad. Tree recognized by its fruit. Evil man brings forth evil things. Your careless thing that he does. And by your words. One thing it says is that by the words of your mouth, you will be justified. By the words of your mouth, you will be condemned. What are you speaking over your mouth? I mean, over yourself. Are you speaking life? Are you speaking death? And so, what are you saying? Because you will give an account for every thought, word, and deed that you have in your life. That includes, what are you saying over your body? And not just over your body. What are you saying over your finances? What are you saying over your children? What are you saying over your job? What are you saying over your parents? What are you? The question is, what are you saying? In two different times, back to back, Jesus said, that out of the flow of the heart, your mouth speaks. Out of the flow of your heart, your mouth speaks. I'll show you right here these couple of verses. I want you to get this. Make a tree good and its fruit good. Make a tree bad, its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Verse 34. You brood of vipers. Yes, that's what Jesus called them. He called them a brood of vipers. How can you, who are evil, say anything good at all? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. The evil man brings out evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they spoke. For to use your spirit, your words, you will be acquitted, justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I don't know why I said it, thought I said it twice. Must have overread it somewhere. Why it seemed to me like it. Read it twice. Maybe God, I think God maybe do that, I guess. Because I guess it wanted to be clear that you guys got it. Right. Good tree, good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. Jesus makes this so clear. So why do we have such a hard time confessing good stuff over ourselves, over our lives? Why do you allow yourself to possess things that aren't supposed to be yours? And to say, my backache, my poverty, my this or my that. And we're going to give an account for every careless thought, word, and deed. We will give an account, folks. I don't know why it keeps talking to me. I wish it would stop. But it is. So, now. Oh, yeah, your mouth. I was saying that, folks, we're going to give an account. The Bible says we're going to give an account for every thought, word, and deed, whether it be good or evil. And he's going to say, what'd you do? What'd you say over your body? What did you say over? Some of you, whatever you're struggling with, whether it be your body, can't seem to get healed, or maybe you're still bound by some things, be it substance abuse or, you know, can't stop doing these certain sins. Maybe it's financial. Can't keep a good job. Can't get a good job. Can't stay out of debt. Whatever it is. And you wonder, why am I having such a hard time? Maybe for some of us, it could be our confession. You're just always looking at the negatives of it and saying, well, another diagnosis. This is just terrible. I don't want to say lovely because that's sarcastic. This is just terrible. Another diagnosis. But instead, you could have said, I am healed in the name of Jesus. Or financial, I am rich. I am prosperous in the name of Jesus. In your family, my children will serve the God, the living God, in the name of Jesus. Even if everything is going good, you continue to confess it. You continue to confess it and confess it and confess it and continue to ask God to bless it. Continue to ask God to bless you. Because the Bible tells us that we will prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. Did you get that, listeners? Even as your soul prospers. No, because remember, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So if your mouth's not right, you need to look at your heart. How you feeling in there? I'm not talking about your blood pumper. Yep, not talking about your blood pumper. What are you feeling? Are you feeling like this is why, folks, this heart of ours, this brain of ours, this is why we have to constantly wash our mind with the water of the Word of God, why we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You want to know something I'm very convinced of, listeners? If you're not winning the battle with your mind, you're not winning the battle, period. So, if your heart and mind aren't right, I'd get that right before I start dealing with anything else. By anything else, I mean healing for my body, finances, provision from God, and great family that serves the Lord, and all the other great benefits that God wants us to have. The desires of our heart. But if your heart's not right towards Him, you've let some garbage get in there. Deal with it. Get it out. Repent. I mean, if it's not sin and you've just got some necessarily, but you've been thinking some bad thoughts. Cleanse yourself. Ask God to help you. Because if you're not winning the battle in your mind, you're not winning the battle. Nope. You'll continue to struggle. And more than likely not get any better. So this is why we have to constantly be looking for us, over ourselves, watching our mouth, watching how we're thinking. This is why it is so important that we're reading our Bible and praying every day and not just opening our Bible on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night at my church, but Wednesday night or whenever else that you go to church. Because most people don't read their Bible on a daily basis like they're supposed to. Imagine if every Christian read their Bible and prayed every day like they were supposed to. Oh, and by the way, not just read it so they can say they read it, but actually thought about it and put it into practice. Oh, the giants we could all be. The things we would be conquering. That's why we have to keep dealing with ourselves. That if we want that miracle in our lives, if we want that blessing on our lives, we've got to deal with our heart and our mind and our mouth. Because out of the overflow of your heart and your mind, your mouth's going to speak. Speaking of your mouth, something funny I want to mention. So, there's this movie, folks, from the early 90s. I was alive then, but I didn't watch it until several years later. So, yesterday I'm getting ready to go. You know, and found this clip on YouTube where this kid is at his neighbor's house. His neighbor's babysitting him because his mom and dad are at a work conference, and this man doesn't want to hear the kid talk at all. He really don't want to hear it. And so you want to know what he says? Shut your yap. And the kid says, what's your yap? And he said, your yap is your mouth. Do you remember that, Brittany? Shut your yap?
Yep.
I think that's kind of funny. It is. So maybe, listeners, and by the way, like if you're in church or whatever and you can't confess good things over yourself, maybe you should shut your yap and let your pastor speak the confession over you. You can't keep your lips. Watch your mouth and what comes out of it. Because the Bible is serious about this mouth thing. Because God knows the kind of trouble that we can get ourselves into. All because of these. And what comes out of them. So that's why we got to watch. So even after you quit gossiping and tailbearing, which if you're doing it, I wish you would stop. Because that's really not good. Even after you get rid of that, what are you saying over yourself? What are you confessing over yourself? And even if you're not talking bad of yourself, but maybe you're not speaking too much of yourself and you're just quiet, speak good things over yourself. God wants to hear you confess. But if you're believing God for your healing, I'm working on this myself. God wants to hear you say what you're believing Him for. God wants to hear you say it. Amen. I'm convinced of this. Because God is the high priest of our confession. And to make the confession, those confessions over your life, you got to have that faith, that trust in God. All this stuff is related. You got your faith up, then you start making these good confessions of yourself, and you're getting alone with God, and you just keep believing and believing and believing and believing and believing and speaking and reading and confessing those things over your life. Yeah, that's the name of the game. Because what you become depends partly on what you, depends on what you're speaking with your mouth. Lord Jesus, bless these who tuned in tonight. Bless all of them. Thank you, Lord God, that you're working in every one of these people. I thank you, Lord God, for these people. I thank you that if they do not know you, my Jesus, I thank you that if they do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, may they confess you as your Lord and Savior right now. Thank you, Lord God, for what you did. In these verses we read about, I thank you, Lord God, for that you're working in each and every one of us. Thank you that we would all examine our hearts. We would all examine our minds. Examine our mouths. Pay attention to what's coming out of them. And not just to me. And not just to make sure it's not dirty, to make sure that we're confessing what we're supposed to be confessing over ourselves, over our lives. Because, and I thank you, Lord God, that you're dealing with our hearts. And that we're having problems. Our heart's not right towards you or towards your things or your word, that we would get it fit, that you would help us out, help us to fix it and deal with us on what's wrong. So that we can live the way you want us to. Because it's you. Not your will for us to be bound, sick, poor, downtrodden, depressed. No, we're supposed to be joyful, happy. We're supposed to be healthy. We're supposed to prosper. We're supposed to be loving. And have good families. And I thank you, Lord God, that 2020 is the year of plenty. Plenty of health. Plenty of joy. Plenty of prosperity. Plenty of... Amen. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Amen. Now, few things on the Super Bowl. The first thing that involves the Super Bowl I want to say actually involves Andrew Wiley. Andrew Wiley was only paid like $1.8 million over the course of 2 years. Now, he is a free agent. I was reading something, because I did a search last night on, because I had read somewhere else that Wiley was a free agent, so I looked up Andrew Wiley, free agent. First thing that comes up is from the certain Bears site, Chicago, for the Bears. And I was reading it, and they're looking to, they are looking to shore up their offensive line. And that 6'6", 305-pound Andrew Wiley, they think could be a good fit, whether it be right or left guard. But obviously, because of how much he played the last 2 years and he did a good job, I'm sure his price will go up. So I don't know if the Bears have the money. But as a Lions fan, I have to say this. If Andrew Wiley goes to Chicago, that means that, well, we're still in it for, well, we still love it. Think it's awesome to have this Andrew Wiley making a name for himself in the NFL. It'll be that he's on the Bears, one of our rivals, one of the Lions rivals. And so that's kind of why I would like him to stay with the Chiefs. And my hope is that if he stays with the Chiefs, that next year, hopefully, he'll actually be playing in the Super Bowl. And that would be a real cool thing. Now, I remember being at Midland High games back in 2011, 2012, and Andrew Wiley was on those teams. Did you know that Andrew Wiley was actually born and raised in Hemlock, not Midland? I didn't know that until recently. I thought he was born and raised in Midland and went to Midland High. But I'm not sure if he lived in Midland while he was going to MHS or if he was being transported to and from Hemlock to Midland. Now, Hemlock is in Saginaw County, but I know I was being transported by Meridian Public Schools Transportation to Midland High from a house that I lived in like 12 miles away from the school. So maybe it was similar to that. And he probably thought he could. I'm sure he had heard of Coach Mettner and all the great things at Midland High. So also, Lions, second worst odds of making the Super Bowl. Oh, what's new there? What's new there? But I don't think it should be determined strictly on how you finish the regular season. Determined should not be particularly what determines what your Super Bowl odds will be. Maybe they'll revisit it after the draft to see how it's retooled. And could Wiley end up with the Lions? That would be so cool. At which point, if Andrew Wiley was on the Lions, I would hope they would have a special NHS day at the game, at a Lions game. That was the first Midland player to ever make the Super Bowl, by the way, ever. So I wonder if he was on the Lions team, I wonder if they'd have a special Wiley Day or Midland Day at one of the games down there. Do you bet maybe they would? Like have the band come and stuff? That'd be fun. I doubt they'd be able to just play whenever they wanted, you know, every 2 or 3 minutes. Because remember I told you about my personal rule that I think they should be doing it every 2 or 3 minutes, remember?
Yeah.
But anyhow, who knows? My hope, though, is that the Lions can figure out what their needs are, work on their health so that they're not all getting hurt. And they just got some things they got to shore up. So maybe Wiley could be a factor. We'll just have to wait and see. Because then the cool thing about that is, you see, born and raised in Michigan, in Hemlock, Michigan. About 2 hours north of Detroit. That means that maybe on whatever off days there are, like on Mondays or whatever after the games, maybe he might come see his family and then go back down to Detroit. So. Could turn out to be a really good thing. It could turn out to be a really good thing. So who knows? I'm still gonna ask Vaughn. She knows Andrew's family by chance, because I would love to get Andrew here on the show to ask him some questions about the Super Bowl, or what was going through his mind this season. And so, like, what did it feel like? Did you know you guys were destined to do something special this year? And so there's some good questions I'm going to ask him if I get him on. But that's it for sports. Folks, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.